Mark's going to come and read for us tonight. I wasn't sure where I would be going, and I prayed, as often my practice, preparation for tonight. And Holy Spirit didn't give me anything until this afternoon when we entered the Bible study for the afternoon study. And God really moved there, and I expect He's going to move again tonight. He's already moving. So let's pray. Because I was praying as we were sitting here about what to focus on, and I believe I just want to extend and share what took place this afternoon again with the body here and whoever will be listening on tape. So with that, Father, we just thank You for Your love for us, and Father, for this pulpit and the gifts that You've given and have established, Lord Jesus, to cover us, to feed us, to encourage us, to equip us, that we may serve You, Lord, and walk with You moment by moment in the call that You have on our lives. We ask that You bless the word that's going to be presented now, and then what will follow. Give us ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to us and to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank You, Father. Yes, Father, please bless this reading. We're going to read all of Psalm 46. You want to follow along? I'm reading out of the King James, but the old King James. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Glory be to God. Does that get you excited? Amen. Expectation being built. As I continue, the first thing I want to do tonight, and by the way, as time rolls here, if someone would take the responsibility to just let me know when it's time to shut down, if we get to that point, okay? And don't be shy about it. Jack Major is my man in the afternoon who shuts me down when it's time. And so I'm used to being called out onto it. But I want to share, before I go any further tonight, a testimony that I shared Sunday here in service. Pastor Moore was preaching, and as he was preaching, he was referencing the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. He got into sharing, and he mentioned the fruit that we experienced and received on Saturday when evangelism took place. And he said something as he was closing out about believing God for spouses. And when he said that, the Holy Spirit quickened me, and I did something that I've done it before, very seldom, far between. It's got to be the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as he was closing out, if you weren't here, I walked up to the podium and took the mic from him and finished after he was done. And what I did is I shared a testimony of what took place when we were on evangelism on Saturday. And we had an awesome move of God. Personally, I was really blessed because it's been a while since I had been out, and with a lot that's been happening, it was like, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And it was time for God to use us to crush the enemy's head, We had four professions of faith, and they were very serious, some broken. But I want to focus on the first one that took place. I had Michelle and Josh with me as we ventured out into the park, and the rest of the group split in two groups and went the other way. And within moments, Holy Spirit moved to focus on a couple that we ran into. And it was a couple with a daughter. And if you would pray for this couple, they're from Cambridge. His name is Chris Record, R-E-C-O-R-D. It's like record. And probably, I'm going to say early 30s. And I had a daughter about walking age, had her just walking alongside of him. And so we got engaged with Chris and his wife. And as we're into the witness, the Holy Spirit's moving, his wife kind of stepped aside. And then as I'm continuing, I'm talking with him, I noticed she kind of disappeared. So I'm thinking either, you know, I'm not sure quite what's going on with that, but I didn't let it distract me. I thought maybe she was just backing off because she didn't want to hear it herself. You know, thoughts like that were being projected. And I continued with him. Well, he eventually prayed with me to receive Jesus. And one of the statements is Pastor Handel is sharing here tonight about fear. What's going on right now, really, and part of his confession was he's been thinking about relevancy of the times and what's taking place, which got him thinking. And so he was open, and he was ripe. And after I got done, I spent as much time encouraging him to find a good pastor teacher, a local assembly, doing follow-up. But as we left him and continued on in the park, Michelle was sharing with me that what she had done is she had left my side, and she went and invested in the wife. And she testified, and this just really blessed me and touched me. And this is what I shared Sunday, and I'm sharing it again tonight because I don't think it made the recording for Sunday's message. And what she shared with me was that the wife had left because the wife was of a Baptist upbringing. And so she knew the gospel, and she knew what was taking place. And she realized that God was answering her prayers through us to reach her husband. And it was just amazing. And the other outreachers were just as amazing. And then a little bit further on, we ran into two young men in their I'm going to say, mid to late 20s, and that Ramo and his group had encountered where we were encountering this couple. And Josh approached them, and right away we discovered with their response as a result of his questioning that they had been with Ramo. So he was being polite and going to let him continue on, but he asked this question. He says, well, what did you think of the whole experience? And their response was along the line, the one guy said essentially, man, I am so thankful that you guys are out here and stopped us to speak to us, because I'm going home and I'm really going to seriously consider the eternal issues in this in particular. So again, a word of encouragement. So with that, and the next group that we ran into, there were three that prayed with us, and their confession was there was a wife, young girl or couple, I believe they were married, but her response was in tears. She was like, we've been out here for weeks on the streets, we're so thankful that these are your first ones that have come along that had anything nice to say, let alone, you know, as good as the good news of the gospel. and they'd been involved with some of the recent protesting in Saratoga, watching that and being recipients of it. And I think last weekend was a gay rights thing going on. So it is. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And we want to be out there aggressively under the Spirit, sharing. generously, as Pastor Handel brought up tonight. So with that, we read Psalm 46, and there's a key verse that most everyone is very familiar with, if you're not familiar with the psalm itself, and it's Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think probably most of us have heard that over and over again and memorized it. But what I want to focus on is, and this is what I believe is going to be the emphasis in terms of what the Holy Spirit wants to put forth from this for us tonight. And if you are familiar with it, just a word of caution, don't be familiar with it, okay? Because as we know, every time that we meet, God is speaking, and we're to have that expectation and understand that if we think we know it, we don't know it as the Holy Spirit wants to breathe life into it again for us. As we're drinking from the living waters of life that flow forth from God, who is the fountain. And in verse 4 of Psalm 46, that river, the living waters of life, is mentioned. It says that there is a river of rejoicing. And it goes on to say and talk about how that river is a provision. In the context of the psalm, it was a river of waters of life, literally, for Jerusalem. And it's speaking of an underground river that was established by King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah, my understanding, is the writer of this psalm. And what had been done is he had, long before Jerusalem at this time that he's referencing and reflecting upon, had been come under siege. And what had been done as a preparation long before the siege, and this is our part, an underground river or tunnel was established that went from the heart of the city to the out under the walls to the outside of the city to a set of springs. Yes, on the trips to Israel.
Yeah.
And this river that was this tunnel was established for the very purpose of supplying waters to the city, and it was at that time it was hidden, so the enemy couldn't discern that it was there. And so when Jerusalem came under siege by the enemy, I believe it was the Assyrians. You can correct me on this. Yep. When the city came under siege, and an embargo was put on, and all the supplies were cut off, the purpose of that embargo and supply was to starve them out and weaken them to the point where they would surrender and have that influence. I'm not sure what the reserves were in the city as far as the food goes, because I didn't do the research on that. But the one key element that was needful was water, because you can survive. Jack Elliott shared this. He says the principle of three. You can survive for 3 minutes without air, 3 weeks without food, but three days without water. And so water was really essential and key to surviving under siege. And this is what was taking place. But as a result of this river, they essentially flourished when the heat came, when the attack was on. And it's because they had established a provision. And symbolically, for our spiritual walk with God, it's talking about us having deep roots in God's well, who is the fountain, for us to drink nourishment from and to be sustained by. And that provision needs to be established ahead of the trial, ahead of the attack. And so as you're faithful to meet and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together under the covering of the pulpit And as you choose to access the teaching that's available, what you're doing is making the right decision to be planted. Pastor Stevens did a series here not too long ago, and the title of the series was Planted. In fact, I think one year it was a theme of a convention, being planted. And it referenced Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17, which deals with the idea that picture the tree that's planted next to the river, and its roots go down deep in the soil and then go out into the bottom of the river, and not just into the river, but into the bottom of the river and up through, and has that those roots established. So when the water levels start to drop because of heat and drought, and the tree flourishes and continues to bear fruit when the heat comes, and it doesn't, and this is the way the Word of God puts it, doesn't feel the heat when it comes. And so there is a river that makes the city glad and the inhabitants thereof, Psalm 46:4. And having said all that, just a reminder, if I haven't said it already, this is written by King Hezekiah. And what King Hezekiah is doing, and when you begin to understand this in the backdrop of the isagogics and the context of this psalm, it puts a different light on what you read and a different light and perspective, a better understanding of what's being put across, and especially with Psalm 46:10, when you look at that and the end commentary of the Word by the Spirit. Because what Hezekiah is doing is Hezekiah is reflecting on what God has done for them. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. Hezekiah is reflecting on what God has done for them and giving them a tremendous victory, a tremendous deliverance, tremendous provision. Hezekiah and the people in Jerusalem at the time were up against the Assyrian army that had surrounded them and was embargoing them and squeezing the life out of them, if you will. That was their intent. And the number of the forces outnumbered them, and their strength and what they had in tools of weaponry, they were far out equipped. And by sight, the enemy's forces and presence and what they were doing in numbers was just astronomical, and if you will, would produce depression if you were looking at it because of the reality of sight evidence. But praise be to God, we are called, and it's clear in the New Testament, that we are not to walk by sight, but by faith. Okay, because we have the God Almighty, who is God Almighty, on our side. And if God be for us in Romans 8, who shall be against us? And Hezekiah understood this. Now, when they became under siege and the enemy began projecting his requests and demands and intent, Hezekiah did something good King Jehoshaphat also did. He drew near to God. David drew near to God. And when he was in the heights of the battles, I'm thinking right now of the passage where in Ziklag, where David, it's been referenced here tonight already, David lost all of his men, his wives, and all of his possession. And the effect was such that they were weeping to the point of weakness where many of them couldn't even fight. They had been hit so hard. And they wanted to kill, some of them wanted to kill David because David had led them there. And they were following David. Okay. I said this afternoon. I'll say it again right now. God will work. Okay. One of the ways of God is as you follow God in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, God will and make right decisions before him that are decisions that are made in listening to him and his counsel. God will order your steps, and he sometimes will bring you to a place walk with him. And in the warfare where you get cornered, okay, I'm thinking right now of Moses and his people at the Red Sea. All right, how did they get there? God led them there. Okay, God allowed that for them to be under his command and leadership, under Moses, to be brought to the place where they had no way out. And on the horizon, again, just like King Hezekiah, all these forces of evil that were overwhelming. In fact, the people of Israel, they didn't have anything to defend themselves with at all. And what did some of them begin to do there? Begin to turn on Moses. Okay. And maybe some that are following you will turn on you. And you've been following God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know what? God's the one that set it up. And Hezekiah is doing the right thing here. At this time, he's reflecting. I'm not sure if he's facing another battle or not. It doesn't say that. Right? And you see it. But he's reflecting on what God has done for them. And here's the point of the Holy Spirit and what I'm presenting tonight. Key. Critical. When we find ourselves facing forces, circumstances, events that are overwhelming and may even, as Pastor Moore so beautifully put it, threaten our very existence and survival. And the thoughts may come in, will I even be able to survive this? What should we do? Draw near to God and reflect on what God has done for you and others. Build yourselves up in the love of the Lord, Jude 20:21. And by the way, there in Jude 20:21, where it says, brethren, building yourselves up in the love of the Lord, in the Greek language, it's in the command form, and you're to take the action to do it and do it on a continual basis. You are to take the action as mature believers to build yourselves up through meditating on the word and abiding in the love of God for you and what the word says about how much God loves you and what he's done for you. And you will and you have, as mature believers here tonight, have experienced many, many deliverances through the years. And if you will allow the Holy Spirit to help you to reflect on the promises of God and the word that counsels us that God loves us, and he loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And if he sent his only uniquely son to die for us and did not hold him back, how much more shall he give us all things freely? Romans chapter 8 says. Okay. And if God, again, if God be for us, if you didn't get it first time, if God be for us, who shall be against us? And I love this. Look at the word who in Romans chapter 8, five different classifications of the enemy, including self and the flesh, okay, as well as the different things that are out there, the world system, the devil and the demons. Who shall be against us? And the idea is nothing can come against me unless God gives permission for it as a disciple because God is for me. And if in the warfare we get called to suffer loss, undeserved loss, because of the sovereignty of God, we can trust God and look to him and know that he is in control. Know, as we look out at what's going on in the nation, that God is in control. Know that God has a plan. Know that we can make the difference as believer priests, his children, because we have direct access to God Almighty, and we pray, we make the difference. We make all the difference in our prayer. It's really up to the remnant what happens in terms of our experience. In Isaiah 24, Pastor Handel's teaching on this, and I've been meditating on it, the reasons for why the tribulation comes and the wrath of God is being poured out. Men are making wrong decisions out there, and we wonder with all what's going on in our nation, what's our experience going to be? Let alone, we know what the world's going to experience, but as a nation, what's our experience going to be? Well, I believe that our experience will be as a result largely to how we respond to God in the midst of what we're facing. And I'm not talking about the whole nation as a nation, but I'm talking about we as a people in the church. The church has the responsibility. The believers have the responsibility. The remnant has the responsibility to respond to God. And I believe the reason we've had the last 4 years that we've had and saw the miracle that took place in the last election is because the remnant finally woke up. Or not the remnant, but the church. That's another subject. I don't really want to get into it. Okay? But we need to be on our knees praying because you've heard it said, it's going to take a miracle for this next election to go in the right direction. But God's in the business of miracles. Okay? We look at the people that need healing. And when we face crisis ourselves, we need to be encouraged in the Lord and draw near to him and reflect on what he has done. Now I'll go back to King Hezekiah in Isaiah 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Brother Bill brought out today where it says, "Be still," that introduction in the Hebrew means to stop and rest in the warfare and rely upon God. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. And he has promised that he will fight our battle for us. Now, there's a balance to that. We need to be available to what God wants and how God wants to use us. Okay? But I think I need to bring this in at this point. Be still and know that he is God. It's generally applied in general application without all that I'm talking about tonight in terms of the knowledge. But understand this, for King Hezekiah, when Israel was under siege and they were flourishing in terms of their survival because they were drinking from the living waters of life that was flowing forth from the wells in which they had roots in a tunnel that was planted, and they were drinking and being provided for by God who is the fountain. Jeremiah speaks of the fountain of God that produces the sweet, soft waters of Shiloh. And in Revelations 20, 22, chapters 20 through 22, you find God referenced as the fountain, which provides the living waters of life. And we need to be drinking from that. We need to have our roots established, and we need to be planted. And so that we have the living waters of life that sustain us and enable us to flourish. But Hezekiah, again, was reflecting on what God had done in this, in that if you go to the story that he's reflecting upon and the scene that I've been describing, which they had no real power against and no way or means out, God sent an angel in the night and killed 185,000 of the enemy. God sent an angel and killed 185,000 of the enemy, wiped them out in one night. They didn't have to lift a finger. All they had to do was praise God and pray. And there's another key element in terms of our warfare and the weaponry that God has given us. When we're under siege, when we're under attack, when we're looking at the sight evidence of what's out there and we're facing it, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There was a preacher who used to be on the radio who says, "Praise God 10 times in a row and everything will change." Everybody laughed at his counsel. It works. Okay? No matter how hard things are, you start to praise God intentionally 10 times just because you're supposed to. And the Holy God inhabits Psalm 100, Psalm 101. The Word of God says this: that God inhabits our praises. God moves in; he inhabits our praises. And so, praise God. Jehoshaphat did this. Hezekiah, I'm sure, did it as well. But Jehoshaphat, when he was facing the enemy, under the counsel of God, called for fasting and praying. They went into the temple, and then they went out to battle. And what did they do? They put the worship leaders out there first, okay, praising God and proclaiming victory, clearing the atmosphere through our praises. Michelle shared this Saturday when we were out on the streets, and she used a phrase she got from another pastor, and it stuck with me, and I'm going to be meditating, developing it. But how you doing today? Too blessed to be depressed. Okay? Too blessed to be depressed. Too blessed to be depressed. Okay? Think about that. Too blessed. How in the midst of the heat and the trial and all that may be going wrong in sight reality, can you be blessed and have the joy of the Lord, which was the theme message for Sunday morning here, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? How do you get there when you're being crushed to the point where you're almost perplexed, as Paul put it? How do you get there? By reflecting on what God has told you and what he has showed you in your experience. Okay? Miracles. Is God in the miracle business today? Absolutely. He still is. Okay? Is he a healer? He is. It's part of his nature, the heart of God. All right? Are miracles taking place? Yes, they are. They may be few and far between, as our natural man will tell us. But there's miracles taking every place every day in our lives if we look and recognize them. Okay? If we look and recognize the hand of God moving in little things, it'll help us. And in terms of the spiritual warfare, we are to take 2 Corinthians 10:5. What are we supposed to do with our thoughts and the projections that come in? We are to take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to cast down the pretense that exalts itself against the knowledge of God within us. And we are to let Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ rule and reign in our hearts and our minds and our souls. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Again, 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Do you hear me? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the pulling down of those thoughts that come in that try to occupy us and distract us from what God says. The thoughts and the realities of sight evidence that try to distract us and get us focused on the reality of what's going on instead of on what God says and what God can do. All things are possible with God to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible with them to them that believe God. Why? Because he's God Almighty. All he needs to do is speak the word and it'll be done. Shorter than that. He created the whole earth. And us included. And everything that's in it. And he's able to change things. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Noah Hutchins. Going back a ways. All right? Because it does. It does. And God is still on the throne. And God is in control. And back to our nation, I believe my personal conviction is what we're going to experience as a nation is going to be in terms of the end times as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be largely dependent on what the church does and its response to God. Okay. And, you know, we've got God. Everybody else out there, what do they got? And that's another thing. Psalm 91, okay? Holy Spirit brought that in when this whole corona thing hit. Just before it, actually. Okay? The last study that I taught, I'm not tooting my horn. The last study that I taught was just before the coronavirus hit New York City, and it was on Psalm 91 and on the plagues. And we've circulated that, and it's been circulated throughout the body of Christ, throughout the United States. since then, as this is a word from the Lord. The Holy Spirit was equipping us, preparing us. Three times, promises to be protected from pestilence and plague. And that's what I'm standing on. I hope you are too. Okay? Because that's our protection. Why? Because there's nothing else out there until the Lord allows it. We know this, and I don't mean to be preaching to the choir, but let's get it down and understand. There's no vaccine. There's no antidote. They got certain things that they're practicing to help people out that are being succumbed to it, but they don't have anything. They're working on it. They're doing all. They got all the top scientists in the world working on it in the industries as well, but they don't have any answers. They don't know where this is going. God's got to grant it. Okay? That's where it's going to come from. God through his people, or he gives the gifts to some scientists or medical profession. But we got God. And we got the promises of God. And Isaiah put it this way, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And this is the heritage of the saints that serve him. These are promises from God. And we are to rest on the word of God and his promises. And believe God and enter into peace. And we do have the message for everybody else out there. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Pastor Handel has already brought it out under the inspiration of the Spirit. People are in fear. And they don't have any answer. I mean, we have the peace and the promises of God. I sleep at night. I think most of you do too. Okay? I'm not worried about the coronavirus. I'm not going to tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Okay? I'm not going to do stuff that's foolish. But I honestly haven't worried about this virus at all because of the peace of God and the promises of God. And I know that God is in control. Psalm 91, verse 1 says this. It starts out like this, okay? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? And it goes on to talk about how he will cover him with his feathers and he will abide under his wings. But just look at Psalm 91 verse 1. Okay. He that dwelleth in the secret place. What's a secret place? My exposure in the word of the secret place, it's talking about, first of all, it's kind of conditional. We need to be serious with God. We need to be drawing near and become very serious with God in our decisions and our practice. And we need to be abiders. And this is what the Holy Spirit brought out through Pastor Moore Sunday morning, that the key to the joy of the Lord is abiding in the love of Jesus Christ. And his whole focus was on, if you weren't here, on John 15, verse 9. And the secret place speaks of the holiest of holies, but that place where God dwells. And most of the times that I've seen the secret place mentioned and reference in the Psalms, it's in reference to those dark clouds of the storm that God inhabits. Okay? The dark clouds of the storm, stormy places. The darkness of darkness. I won't go on to it. I think I'm... But we need to be abiding and trusting God. And out there telling others the good news because it's the answer. I've been studying, Pastor Eric, I've been studying that, Isaiah 24, about why the wrath of God is poured out. Pastor's brought out beautifully and showed us is because of the responsibility for the shedding of innocent blood. They've changed the ordinances of God, they've broken his law, and they've broken the everlasting covenants. And the everlasting covenant deals with the death penalty and the shedding of innocent blood. And you know what? pastor opened the pulpit to a woman to bring a message on the key issue that's facing our nation and the world, but the focus is the nation, and it's the abortion issue. And that needs to change. That needs to change. Can we believe God for it? I am. I'm encouraged. As she shared here that day, we have a president who is on record as being the most pro-life president that's ever lived and held that office. And he's demonstrated it. And his speech at the pro-life march and rally in Washington revealed one thing. It wasn't something he read off a teleprompter. It came from his heart. He's pro-life. And you know what? That encourages me. There's hope. And there's hope because of Christ. And what Christ is doing, I believe in him as well as the nation. And I'm going to say this. This will open a can of worms. Liz Joy was here, and somebody asked me what I thought of her message. I didn't disagree with anything that I heard. And my convictions are very similar. The only thing that bothered me was that it was a woman that was bringing the message. And I don't mean that to discredit the gender. But I mean it in this sense. More men need to step up to the plate. Okay? And I'm praying for that. More men need to step up to the plate. You got to understand this, that God will allow for and raise up women to be in a place of leadership because he's ashamed of what's going on. And it's a shame. But it can be God. But the men need to get the message. You're called to be men of God and to be vessels that are used to speak God's heart. Isaiah 3:9, there's other passages that speak about what I just said. That's a firm conviction in my heart because it comes from the Word. Deborah and Barak. You look at that, and the pastor just recently went into that as well. Okay, other I've heard other men talking about it. Enough said on that. I don't know how I got there. I'll trust it's God. Praise God. The forces of the enemy, by reality, look like, what are we going to do? What's our reaction to be? We draw near to God, hit our knees, and make ourselves available to God and say, God, here I am, send me. By the grace of God. Here I am, send me. By the grace of God. And I'll close with that. Thank you. I believe we're going to prayer tonight after this. But there's a whole lot more I could say, but I'm going to honor the time. And so with that, if you're here tonight, or if you're listening on tape, that's the main reason why I'm going in here now. We want to offer an invitation for you to receive the gift that God offers out of his love. And that is the provision that was accomplished by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. He went there, his whole purpose was to come and seek to save the lost in Luke 19:10. And his purpose on earth as a man was to win the victory and redeem us from our fallen state. He shed his blood, he gave his body to be beaten, and he was crucified for you and I. And if you haven't received what he's done yet, I encourage you to do so by praying and saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me and taking my place on the cross. And I ask now that you would receive me, because by faith I'm asking you to save me in Jesus' precious name. And if you've prayed that prayer, I ask that you would let somebody in the church, somebody you know that is a Christian, know that you prayed to receive Christ. And if you need help, call us. You can reach us on the website, or in a telephone book, but call us, Greater Grace Community Church in Malta, New York. Father, I ask you to take these words that were shared tonight. I haven't even touched what I really want to unleash. But by your Spirit, Father, I ask you to help us to let you make ours what is ours to be received by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.